grave. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shade.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. right here on Survival Circle.
Love to hear a steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night and a truck stop. Stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking.
Now, war is coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
And it's the 8th of May, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's raining, cold, we got a fire going, and it's kind of ugly weather here for almost the middle of May, first week of May. We had a little hail here today, a lot of slush and rain and wind, and it's about, let me see here real quick, I can give you a more accurate measurement here. It is 40 degrees right now. We're looking for a low of 32. It snowed in Flagstaff today and yesterday, and it snowed in Springerville. It snowed in Winslow, mostly hail in Winslow, I think. And it's been an interesting day. Long sleeve shirt was, I thought it was pretty much about done with long sleeve shirts, but no, it's not quite the case just yet. Let me take a run over here to the chat room and see if we're getting any noise out there. You know, everybody's losing their minds about this weather. And it's just because they're not thinking back, or you know, most of them are old enough to remember. It was only, you know, a few years ago that this was the norm. The last 10 years, it has not been the norm, at least here. Last good snowstorm we had here, we had one. And two, thanks, Nan. And welcome, by the way, and for the rest of you that's here, all six of you. In 2012, I think I told you, we had 2 feet of snow. That's the time that church was canceled on Easter Sunday. That was a little out of the norm there. 2010 is when we had all that snow in Luna, and it got down to 38 below. And then it was quite a few years before that. But when I was a kid, when I was a young man, when I was in, you know, just about out of high school, we, you know, it was not unusual at all to see snow in September, always in May, at least one or two good storms in May, occasionally in June. Maybe twice that I remember in July over in Cibola County, New Mexico. When I was in Cody, Wyoming, it snowed in July a couple of different times. Matter of fact, when Steven Seagal was there, he was a real grouch because it was 45 degrees and snowing, 4th of July parade that he emceed. So this isn't the end of the world. It's not like it's all that unusual. It just hasn't happened for a little while. But, you know, all over the country, a lot of different weather events are happening, and it's interesting. You know, I put up a new blog post for those of you that don't follow my blog, or even those of some of you that do and haven't checked on it yet, but kind of feeling that me and several others are feeling a little sense of urgency here. You know, it's upgraded just a little bit. You know, I've felt a sense of urgency about this for the last 10 years or more, but it's kind of escalating just a little bit with some of the things that's going on and the weather and the news and everything that's happening. So kind of looking at making sure my bags are squared away. You know, my everyday carry doesn't change. That's going to be the same, you know, for the rest of my life probably. And but I've just pulled all my bags out of my truck and upgraded them, replaced things that needed replacing, and made sure the batteries were good on things that had batteries and all that, and kind of changed just a little bit in the truck. Instead of carrying a full-blown 72-hour pack in there, and I've got enough stuff in my truck to live for, you know, weeks anyway, so why do I need to put this special pack in there? So I downgraded just a little bit the pack that's in there and concentrated a little bit more on less weight, smaller size, a little bit more food, a little bit more medical supplies, and less of some of the non-essential stuff. Because if my truck doesn't go, you know, I don't take off and go to Washington. If I go anywhere in any vehicle, it doesn't matter what I travel in, whether it's my truck or not. You know, I take a full-blown pack when I do that, and weapons and everything else. But for running around here within, you know, a 50 or 75-mile radius with my truck, I have felt the need to take some of the stuff out of there, make it a little lighter, and just have a, you know, what you would call a get-home bag in there from a lesser distance. And I've always got extra everything in my truck anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And then my 72-hour kit, I've upgraded it just a little. When I say upgraded, what I did, the bag itself is about the same, but what I've done with both of them, with my 72-hour bag and my truck bag, both, I put, you know, most of our Camelbacks are good quality military grade Camelbacks. And so in the truck, I've always had my bag in a gym bag in the truck for two reasons. If it's out, and I think some people are less likely to bust windows and steal a gym bag than they would be seeing a good quality tactical type military Camelback in there. So that's one reason. Second thing is, I've got it in that bag not only for camouflage, you know, urban camouflage, disguise a little bit. But the bag itself, with what little extra room that's in there, I've got some extra stuff. You know, a little, a couple of stripped MREs and extra flashlight and batteries, a little extra first aid stuff. Just, you know, odds and ends, some flexicuffs and what else I got in there? A couple of, you know, MRE heaters and just extra things, so when something happens, if I have to leave, I can take that pack out and put it on my back and take essential stuff out of the vehicle. Hey, Yakima Glock just popped in there. Take essential stuff out of my vehicle and put in that gym bag, in that basically small duffel bag. So that way I can get you know, some of the extra whatever, survival tabs, ammo, magazines, stuff out of the truck that I may need, a couple of tools out of the toolbox, and, you know, lock it up and hope for the best. In a real poop hit the fan situation, I'll burn it to the ground when I leave. And then get home with what I got. So what I did with my 72-hour pack has always before just been a pack. And I said, well, you know, I'm doing this in the truck, putting in a duffel bag. Why don't I do that with my other pack too? So if I have to go, I can just—I'm traveling. Same reason. It can be sitting in the back of the car or something. You look through the window and you see a gym bag there. So what? Most cases, probably not going to be anything unless you're in Baltimore or somewhere. Now you think people are going to break windows out of and take a chance to steal a gym bag with a, you know, a pair of sweaty shorts and a jock strap in it or something, and tennis shoes. So, again, it's the camouflage, the disguise factor. And the other thing, it's in my 72-hour bag's a little bit bigger bag, so it's in a little bit bigger duffel bag. And in that duffel bag, again, extra medical stuff, night vision, the stuff that I may need, which gives me an additional bag to carry for other things that's in the car. Other clothes, if I'm out traveling, a little bit more clothes out of the suitcase or something, you know. So it works out pretty well that way. And then my, of course, my big bag, my get out of Dodge bag when the balloon goes up and I know we're never coming home again. That's in a whole different bag. So now that being said, also in the bigger bag, all I have in there is, corner Tebow. All I have in there are things that are required to be in there above and beyond what is in my 72-hour kit. Because if things go south really bad, then I will strip everything. There's no use. I can't carry three backpacks. So the one will still be in the vehicle. And the 72-hour bag will be stripped of everything out of it and goes in my get-out-of-Dodge bag. And the other things that will be in there will be things that you don't put in 72-hour kit. Additional food and intrenching tool and a few other things, extra magazines and whatnot. So that's my idea of doing things anyway. May or may not work for you, but that's what I do. All right, let me see here. Let me bounce over here and open some of this stuff up. I guess everybody knows we had another school shooting yesterday in Colorado, not too far from Columbine, actually. And one of the interesting things about it, several interesting things, actually, a couple things that I have reflected on here a little bit. And one of them is that the guy, at least according to the news, you know, we don't know for sure, but according to the news, hold on a minute, let me get rid of this and get this out of the way here. Okay. The shooter, admittedly, was a leftist, praised Obama, and this is not unusual. This is the norm. This is what normally happens. And you saw one of the guys that rushed the gunman, as they call him. Two guys, I guess, rushed him and bought some time and allowed some people to get away and all that and was able to kind of restrain or occupy the shooter there for a little bit until law enforcement or somebody was able to come and help him. Unfortunately, the guy that helped this other kid got fatally wounded. But, you know, he's a hero. He is. Now, the interesting thing about these two guys, this is a really interesting set of events or circumstances here. Again, the guy, the shooter, was a leftist. We expect that. And what we also expect, but is never said, was these two kids were, number one, they were sheepdogs. Everybody else run. Everybody run. Teachers run. Everybody run. Except these two kids. One of them was killed for his efforts, but because of their efforts, other people were not killed. These two kids are sheepdogs. These two kids, one of them, the one that survived, is a up-and-coming Marine. Wants to join the Marines. And the other one, his dad said he liked hunting, he likes fishing, he likes to go to the woods. So do you think Trump is his president? I'm guessing probably so. I can tell you Obama's not his president. I'm pretty confident of that. Most of your people that hunt and fish and go to the woods and camp and things like that. So we can safely ascertain from this that these two kids were conservatives. They were selfless and brave. And they were the epitome of a sheepdog. They were heroes. And the shooter was a cowardly punk, liberal, Democrat, piece of crap, just like all the rest of them. And I think that was, I was reading this whole story and I saw that and it just struck me all of a sudden that this is generally probably the way it works. You know, in a lot of these colleges and stuff, most of the time, we don't see anybody charging the guy with the gun. Most of the time, everybody runs just as hard and fast as they can go. And this was one of very few exceptions that we saw take place here yesterday. So again, it brings me to the question that we've asked every time this happens. What is it that the left don't see about this? Well, obviously we know that they're not seeing it because they don't want to see it. All they're after is the guns. They could care less about safety. They wouldn't care if every school kid out there in the country got killed if all the guns got taken away. That's all they care about. But you still have to wonder when it's so blatantly obvious, when it is so in their face that it's the left, that it's their people every time, that that perpetrate this kind of stuff, that they're the shooters, they're the pedophiles, they're the, you know, whatever. And it's always that side. So that, again, one more thing that takes me to. When I and numerous other people say that the liberalism is a disease, it is a disease. Those people's brains don't work the same as normal people. And this is obvious because the legislators and the cops, not all cops, I'm talking about leftists, you know, the left side cops, and the parents and the teachers and the bus drivers and the dog catchers and whatever it is out there that's on the left think just like the other. They think they're not doing anything wrong. They don't get it. They think just the same. Every frickin' one of them are sick, rabid dogs. They're just, all of them, disgusting. I've said it 100 times. There is no longer, you know, let's just agree to disagree and we'll worry about it next election. No, let's just say that you are an enemy of the people, an enemy of America, an enemy of freedom, and I am not. Therefore, I don't like you. I don't like people like you. I don't like any of you. No, we can't get along. No, we will not agree to disagree. And the more I talk about this, the more likely I am to say something I shouldn't. So probably what I ought to do is think about taking a break here before I get too deep into this.
I'll be back.
We're very pleased to have Admiral James Lyons with us. Sir, welcome.
Well, thank you, Frank. Sorry I missed the earlier presentations due to my 3-hour and 20-minute commute this morning. But, you know, as a number of you heard me say before, we've had many opportunities to change the course of history. And it hasn't mattered whether it's been a Republican or Democratic administration. We failed every one of them, starting with Carter. Went to take over of our embassy. We could have cut off Khomeini and his Islamic fundamentalism at the knees. We were going to take Carg Island, and he rejected it. We could have walked in. The next time was the Marine Barracks bombing. And you all probably wonder why we never responded. I won't go into the long detail, but the guy that sabotaged the strike, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, was the Secretary of Defense. Not once, but twice. Reagan approved the French wanted to do a combined strike, and Reagan approved it, and Weinberger wouldn't issue the order. I have personally talked to George Shultz and Bud McFarlane. They told me, they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't do it. You have to say, who the hell got to him, or what got to him? I've never been able to get an answer on that. In the Gulf Tanker War in 87, we were going to bring down the Khomeini regime. You know, and the guy that sabotaged, I had Brief Weinberger at my headquarters at Pearl Harbor that summer. And this was going to be in August of 87. And the one who undercut us the most was our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Crowe, at the time. You know, if you go forward and you look at, you know, we shot down by accident that Iranian civilian airliner a few months later. And what did Khomeini do? He said, I'm drinking from the chalice of poison. And he said, I have to make a truce with Saddam Hussein because the Americans have shown they're coming in on Iraq's side. Well, think of what the hell we could have done had we executed the strike we wanted to do in August of 87. You know, we all say we have to identify the threat. Well, I think the one who identified it the best was Erdogan from Turkey when he said, Islam is Islam. There are no modifiers. Democracy is the train we ride to our ultimate objective. He couldn't have said it any plainer. And until you recognize that Islam is a political movement masquerading as a religion, you're never going to come to grips with it. And as far as a strategy, let me just conclude one thing, and as I just had in my latest op-ed. The Obama administration has a strategy. It's very simple. Any thinking American should be able to grasp it. It's anti-American, anti-Western, it's pro-Islamic, it's pro-Iranian, and pro-Muslim Brotherhood. And with that, I'll yield the mic.
Thank you, sir.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta give me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay. Find a way. It ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot button political issue.
Can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me, I'm free.
Downright sickening to watch this. You know, you're going to get these white folk all riled up here. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to come in, the white folk get riled up, you know. Members of the NRA going to come into the black neighborhoods. I'm telling you. You know, the people going to get, people just tired of this. White people are being pushed around, kicked to the curb, having their rights denied, being called a racist, being walked on, watching their tax dollars go to fund all kind of drug sales, prostitution, illegal immigration. I mean, y'all gonna push these white folk till they can't take it no more. I'm telling you. You fool around here with Obama? You're going to let this long-legged Mac Daddy push these white folk? They're going to come up out of Tennessee and come up out of Oklahoma, come up out of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, come up out of Oregon and come out of Idaho and California. I'm telling y'all, you're pushing these white folk and you're pushing them. Your long-legged Mac Daddy's pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. And they're going to get, listen, you're going to push people to the point where they're not going to take it no more. These white folk are not going to take it. You're taking their tax money. You're closing down their jobs. You're shutting down their banks. You're telling them what they can and cannot do. You're giving billions of dollars to Acorn. You're taking their tax money and giving it to people to buy drugs. You're killing babies and you won't stop. You're telling lies and you're demoralizing our nation. You're destroying everything that has made this nation great. White folk getting ready to rise up. They don't want to take it no more. And I'm joining them. Oh, doggone it.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we're back. By the way, for those of you that that do subscribe to my blog, or if you want to, it's SWSA. What is it? SWSAblog.com. I'm fixing to add a couple more here, and kind of goes with the classes I'm going to be teaching this coming Saturday. But I'm going to add one for. As I said, I have an upgrade, I haven't changed anything for everyday carry. I'm going to put one on there just for people, late comers, late bloomers that wanting to get into this and wondering what to do and getting so many different ideas and so much useless nonsense out there. I mean, I'm not saying there's not good stuff out there. There is. But if you look at what most people require or suggest – for a 72-hour kit, you know, and I've said this before, you need a pickup to carry it around. I mean, we're talking 3 days. You know, three granola bars and a couple of quarts of water, and you can get by. You can survive for 3 days. But they have all this stuff. It's tools and all manner of damn stuff to do it. So I'm going to put something out there that, you know, just another idea for them. To compare, they can do whatever they want. So I just got the 72-hour kit one. I'm going to put one for everyday carry, and I'm going to put one for a get-out-of-Dodge suggestion. Now, understand also that all of these will change depending on your environment. If you live in or if you are going to or been thrust involuntarily into a hostile environment, then, you know, there may be some, as you might say, tactical changes in the equipment that you might carry. So, and I've noted that in the last thing that I wrote. So, when I say, well, you didn't put in there rocket launchers or, you know, the law or any grenades or anything. Well, you know, we can add all that stuff later if we figure out, well, that's what we need to do, but. But for now, I think we can get by with what's in there. All right, let me go over to here to the chat room and see what's going on, if anything's going on. I see Tebow has mentioned Susie B. Where in the heck is Susie B. anyway? I haven't seen her in here for a long time. And I'll tell you somebody else. I guess Iowa Cat doesn't like me anymore because I haven't seen her in here for quite a while. She was always wanting to get with me and shoot a game of pool somewhere. So if any of you are so inclined, if you want to play a game of pool with me, download an app on your phone or on your tablet called 8 Ball Pool. And it's by, I don't know what you call it, the people that invented it or wrote it or hosted or whatever. It's called Miniclip, if you're looking for the right one. That is the neatest pool game. It is extremely realistic. The sounds, the movement, the English, the, you know, everything you can do, just about everything you can do on a regular pool table. And, they got leagues and tournaments and all kinds of stuff, and it's just like playing pool. It really is. There's a tiny bit less, a little bit less room for error. Well, no, let me rephrase that. There's a little more room for error. Because the table is perfect, you know, it's perfectly level. The velvet is unblemished. It's, you know, there's no human. I mean, you take out at least some of the human error because you don't actually have a hold of the stick. There's still human error in it, in that, you know, you've got to aim in the right place and put the right English on it, and, you know, back it up, run it forward, whatever you're going to do. And so that part of the human error has not been removed. But, you know, a little breath at the wrong time, or a sneeze, or a little tremor or something in your hand, you know, that type of error has been removed from here. But I get involved in leagues, and we're right in the midst of one right now. It ends every Sunday night. And if you guys get on there, if any of you get on there and you want to play, let me know that you've made it, and I'll kind of coach you along a little bit and get you going. To get on the same league as I am, you have to have a certain amount of, you, when you play, you win coins. You know, you don't get anything tangible out of it. You know, there's no tournaments where they mail you a check or anything. But you win coins and you upgrade. It's probably one of the most intricate cyber engineering marvels I've ever seen. And, you know, it's kind of like Facebook. It's more so than Facebook, the way it's made. And, anyway, you can get up to a certain point and join these leagues and everything. And you just have to be careful and not let it occupy too much of your time. You know, choose the time that you have set aside to play, just like you would if you were going to a league down at the pool hall in town, or, you know, at the beer joint or whatever. And this gives you a little bit more time to play, because you can just, you know, strip down to your skivvies and crawl in bed and play pool till time to go to sleep and not have to drive back and forth from the bar. So anyway, if you decide to do it, let me know, and we'll be friends on there, and I'll point you in the right direction. All right, where are we at? Let's get back to what we came here to do to start with. Did you notice? I noticed that the FBI has now arrested one of their very own translators for lying about his relationship with the target of a certain investigation. Now, this... I wondered about this. I wondered about it even today. You know, above and beyond this article, I've wondered about it many, many, many times. And something has come up on Facebook, and it comes up periodically, that, you know, you can't hate all Muslims, all the Muslim bashing, blah, blah, blah. If you're my friend and you bash all, dude, you're not my friend anymore. But I sound like a fourth grade, like a teenager. But there's nothing out there that has convinced me, or even remotely tried to convince me, that you can trust any of them. I know that everybody falls back, oh, the Quran says this, the Quran says that, the Quran, whatever you call it. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know, I haven't read it. If that is the case, how do we choose and how do we expect to trust some of these scouts and translators and even people that's in the military? We had one, you know, the Captain, what's his name, in Fort Hood. I'm sorry, but I'm really having a hard time doing the Christ-like thing here and just love my neighbors and stuff, because I just don't want to, ain't going to. So this was an Obama administration, Obama era FBI pick, this translator. He is a Somali. Now listen to this. How did they expect, or why did they expect, that they could trust this guy? I don't care how long he's been with the agency. He was a Somali, and they're helping to, he was helping them to surveil another fellow Somali. And I don't see what, how they could have expected anything different. The only thing I can see is there should have been a regular American. This guy may have been a transplanted American, this Somali. But maybe they should have got somebody from Kansas and taught him the language, to kind of, or at least a good working knowledge of the language, so that they can kind of keep an eye on this guy, on what he's saying and everything. The guy, they don't have to tell the Somali that the guy from Kansas knows. They just let him be there with another job and then listening in. But anyway, he was charged with lying about these contacts that they were working with. And the other one was a subject of a terror investigation. And so they said that he's, I guess they're not real mad with him because he's just placed on a $20,000 bond. And so anyway, he faces, 7 different charges here, making false statements to investigators. Oh, 7 charges of making false statements to investigators, 1 for obstructing a federal investigation, and he faces up to 25 years in prison. And I say just go ahead and send him now. If we have enough proof, just go ahead and take him out of the equation. He said he worked for a government contractor and was assigned to an FBI linguist and translator assigned to be an FBI linguist and translator from 2012 through 2015. They said he translated a voicemail message from an individual under surveillance and concealed that it was his own voice in the audio that he translated. See, this doesn't work for me. I have a problem with this. The indictment unsealed on Monday did not allege that he had provided material support to those under terrorism investigation. The indictment said in 2012 he translated a message captured through surveillance of a subject referred to as Person A, which Person A left on the translator's own device. So there's a quote here. It says, it's kind of long, but Person A, according to the prosecutors, was subject of having conspired with and aided and abetted someone who traveled to Somalia to join Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda-affiliated terror group. The latter person was on the FBI Most Wanted Terrorist List, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, there's more to the story, but I think that is enough to give you the idea of what's going on there. Anyway. Dang, it's gotten pretty quiet. This is another thing. And I'm glad that we still have people in the that listen to the podcast. As I said before, that is the main deal. And so the few that come to the chat room, I appreciate you guys coming. The main audience is still the podcast. And actually, the podcast is the only reason I haven't shut this down so far, because we do have a pretty good following on whatever the hell it is, Podbean. So I don't know what where the chat room people went and all of that, but whatever. right. There was something I wanted to read you. I got this from, let's see if I can find it here real quick. Let me see where it's at. Let me put on a short song here real quick. I got to find this. I want to read it to you. It's something that I pulled off of Facebook today. And it was a great little commentary. So I'm going to read that to you. So I just listen to a song here for a minute. What kind of music y'all like? You like rock? Okay. Well, let's see if we can find some. There ought to be some right here. All right, let's do this. I'll be back in a minute.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.
Okay, I got it. I found it. Let me move that out of the way. Let me rearrange just a couple little things here real quick. And, wow, really? Oh, there it is. Okay. Now, this has to do with what we were talking about earlier. I'd forgotten about this. But there was a gal that put, I told you that she said, you know, if you're on my friends list and you're bashing all Muslims and all that, just get off my friends list, okay? And, you know, and Tebow says what everybody says. I've never read it. I don't know. But Thibault said it's the duty of any Muslim to lie to infidels in order to achieve the objective required by the Quran. And I haven't heard that it's the duty, but I have heard that it is legal. It is approved of. And it may either or both. I don't know. So if with that in mind, now there's a guy here that lives not too far from me. There's a couple of them, actually, that used to be with Blackwater and spent a good bit of time in Afghanistan. And this one guy was in Kuwait a lot more than he was in Afghanistan. But and he talks about some of the good people over there, and he talks about a number of people that are not Muslim. And he said, well, you know, there's some of those people over there I got along with pretty good, but you can't trust them. You just can't trust them. So here's what this girl wrote in response to this other post. She said, the only thing I can really say in opposition to your post, not that I'm trying to oppose you, but when people believe that white people are responsible for slavery, and we're all grouped into one lump sum. This other girl said, talking about a lump sum of Muslims. Then everyone is okay with that. When we have one cop who's an ass, everyone lumps them all together and decides that they're all bad. When we have images of the KKK as only white people, everyone lumps all white people as being racist. As we see Trump supporters into groups of being Nazis, bigots, uneducated, racist, etc., nobody has a problem lumping them all into one group. With all that being said, I have never seen any Muslim come out publicly and denounce another Muslim for their terrorist acts or their love of Sharia law or their vow to follow Islam. But what I have seen is them cheer. The whole Middle East for when our towers fail. I've seen how the local mosque said they were helping people at the regional center in San Bernardino, but they only allowed them in a small corner of their parking lot, not even allowing people to go inside the mosque to use the restroom or the phone. That is what I've seen. So while I agree one person doesn't dictate the whole race, I will make exceptions for the Muslims. But mine didn't start just since Trump took office. It stems from 2001. If you look at their existence, they're all about murder and their selfish laws. To hell with them. They can go back to the Middle East where their way of life is what they've made it and leave my country alone. That says it all right there. That I couldn't have said it any better. You know, it's okay to lump Mormons into one group. It's okay to lump cops into one group. It's okay to lump all Catholic priests into one group. But when it comes to Muslims, you get in Facebook jail. You get everybody. You're a racist. Everybody gets on you. The news. Everybody. Except us. I think this girl did a pretty good job of writing that. So there was something else. I just had it here. What was it? I just saw it. One more thing I wanted to try to get done here before. Oh, whoa. I got it. Stand by. Here it is. I thought I had talked about this Monday, but I don't think I did. Who would have thought that a United States Army soldier, you know, we talked the other day about people falling into the Grand Canyon and talked about, you know, stupid people get too close to the edge and fall in. Who would have thought that you would have to tell a United States Army soldier not to get up too close to the edge of a volcano? Well, this guy fell into the volcano. I don't know if he's making a sacrifice to the gods or what happened here. But anyway, he fell in. It was a 300-foot cliff. Apparently, he only fell 70, 75 feet. Got hurt pretty bad. But they managed to fish him out of there. And got him into the hospital. He survived. But, maybe if it would have been Air Force, I could have understood it. But Army? No, I'm just kidding. No. So anyway. All right. Well, I think it's about time to start easing towards the door here. I'm not sure what's going on Friday. If I'm available, if I'm here, I will do a live show, but I've also got to get ready for that thing on Saturday. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 4 classes on Saturday. And I'll be doing this until, 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. So I got a lot of stuff to do to get ready. So hopefully I'll see you then. I'd like to do another live Liberty Lounge. I haven't done one now for a month or so. So I think it would be fun to do one. We might just try to make an attempt to do that. So if I can, great. If I can't, it'd still be great because the Tinker will put on something great. So I'll see you then. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.